The following is a song class on the song Gaya Gaura Madhur Svare, led by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 22nd, 2010, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So, this is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is very nice song. His songs are Vedic knowledge. They are not ordinary songs of this world like pop song. But they are written in very simple language so that of course it's Bengali, but very simple Bengali language so that one can, the common people can sing like a folk song and get the full import of Vedic wisdom. So we will sing, everyone try to follow at our normal call and response way.
Gai Gaura Madhur Svare, Gai Gaura Madhur Svare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Gai Gaura Madhur Svare, Grihe Tako Vane Tako, Sada Hari Bole Rako, Grihe Tako Vane Tako, Sada Hari Bole Rako, Sukhe dukhe bulo na ko, padane hari naam koro re. Sukhe dukhe bulo na ko, padane hari naam koro re. Gai Gaura Madhur Svare, Gai Gaura Madhur Svare. Maya jale bada hoye, achomiche kajalo ye. Maya jale bada hoye, achomiche kajalo ye. Ekono chetana peye, rara bala nam bolore. Ekono chetana peye, rara madam nam bolo hoje gai. Gaura Madhur Svare, gai Gaura Madhur Svare. Jivana hoilo she, nabari jirishikesh jivana iloshesh nabari jirishikesh bhakti vinor upadesh ekbar namase matore bhakti vinor upadesh ek par nam se mato re gai goram roz hare gai goram roz hare gai goram roz hare gai
So, this very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is saying, now Lord Chaitanya is singing very sweetly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He is saying, whether you're a householder or a sannyasi, constantly chant Hari Hari. Do not forget this chanting. Whether you are in a happy condition or a distressful one, just fill your lips with the Hari Nam. You are bound up in the network of Maya and are forced to toil fruitlessly. Now you have obtained full consciousness in the human form of life, so chant the names of Radha Madhav. Your life may end at any moment, and you have not served the Lord of the Senses, Rishikesh. Take this advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name. So, in this world, we are trying to relish so many different types of nectar, you see. Money nectar, power nectar, prestige nectar, sex nectar, tongue nectar. So many types of nectar we are trying to relish, you see. But what is the result of this relishing all these nectars? What are we tasting? Are we tasting nectar? It may appear to be nectar, but turns out to be poison, actually. Poison, yeah. This is described in Bhagavad Gita that the pleasure in the mud of passion, it is very tasty at first, but then when one tastes it for a little bit of time, one actually sees, this is not nectar, this is poison. Becomes very bitter. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is giving us a different type of nectar today. He's describing Lord Chaitanya's singing so sweetly, you see. So, this nectar of Harinam, the name of Krishna, it is the real nectar, because when you taste this nectar, it doesn't get old, it doesn't get worn out. There's an English word, hackneyed. It does not become hackneyed and dry. If one continues chanting this Hare Krishna, one will experience how it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying, if you can just relish it once, if you can simply taste it even one time, please do it just one time. You've relished this nectar even once. That is Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinking, well, I just want them to chant one time. No. Because Krishna says, satatang girate yantam mam, you should always chant. So why? Bhaktivinoda doesn't say you should always chant. Why he doesn't say? No, he says just once relish him. Because he knows that if you really relish him, that you will, it will be a taste so sweet and so sublime that you'll be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Not just once, you'll be chanting all the time because it is so sublime. It is so sublime, if you can taste it even once, actually taste it, you will constantly chant Hare Krishna. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, I have chanted many times, but I'm not relishing that much nectar. What am I doing wrong? Why am I not relishing the nectar? I've chanted many times. But for me it seems dry, it seems mechanical. What's going on? Well, that doesn't mean that the name is lacking the nectar. It means we are not connecting with the nectar of the name. So, how do we get that actual connection? This is a very important point. How do we get actually connected with that nectar of the name? The key is we have to be in the mood of service. We are calling out not in a mood of exploitation or of lording it over. We are calling out as humble servants in this mood, you see. We're not chanting Hare Krishna to become God, that I want to be the Supreme, or I have this material desire, I have that material desire, therefore I will chant Hare Krishna to get a new car, to get a new girlfriend, or whatever it may be, you see. No. We are calling Hare Krishna to beg the Lord, will you kindly engage me in your service? If we call in this way Krishna's name, begging to be engaged in the service of the Lord, you see, then we will relish like anything. Do you know why we relish like anything? Because this mood of serving the Supreme is our actual nature. Each and every one of us has the innate ability to purely love God. We, everyone has. It's like a little child, he does not know how to walk, he's crawling on all fours, his hands and his legs. But within that small child, there is the innate capacity to walk. So, if he takes training under the guidance of his parents, he can practice. Now, if he did not have that innate tendency to walk within him, what the practicing will do? Nothing. But because he already has that innate tendency to walk within him, by the practice, the innate tendency becomes awakened. So each and every one of us, we have the innate tendency, just like the child has the innate tendency to walk, we have the innate tendency to be pure lovers of God. That's why if we will take the practice under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide devotees of the Lord, and the bona fide scriptures, if we will take this practice very seriously of chanting, engaging in devotional service of the Lord, developing that mood of calling to the Lord in love, like a child crying for the mother, then there will be great nectar. We will taste very, very nice sweetness in that name. Shushu Shro Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataryuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Virpa Puna Sevana Kirtanam. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity, a taste for this Krishna Kata, topics of the Lord. So, by serving the devotees who are completely free from vice, who don't have any material motives for engaging in devotional service, who are serving Krishna in pure loving mood, you see. If we can serve such devotees, just like our founder Acharya, he was one such, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was one such pure soul who was simply serving out of love the order of his spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness. So, we got very good opportunity to serve His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And of course, that activity, opportunity for that same activity is there for every one of us, because Prabhupada has established a mission, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So any service rendered to that mission, just like you have your local ISKCON center down the street here in Copenhagen, any service rendered to that the institution and to the persons who are running that institution, who are serving that institution, see, then that service is transferred to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And by that service to Srila Prabhupada, one will develop a wonderful, wonderful taste for chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So the whole key on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, just somehow or other develop that taste for chanting the name of Krishna. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehina rasavasham rasopyashva parang vishwanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So, that higher taste, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is urging us. If we can somehow just get that taste, even for 1 minute, you see, that will go far, far beyond any taste of this world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18. Chapter 8. Text number 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna mamupechita konteya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to maya bodha, son of Kunti, punar janmana vidyate, never takes birth again. So this material world is completely devoid of any taste. You can go anywhere in this material world. You can have any position, any amount of money, any amount of fame, any amount of good looks, any amount of good health, any amount of any material opulence, even to the greatest degree of being Brahma himself. And guess what? There's no taste. There's no taste. Aruchi. It is tasteless. Absolutely tasteless. But if you can take the name of God, you see, and utter it with faith, Shraddha means faith. With faith, you can utter the name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then magic will happen. You will feel that awakening of your innate capacity to love the Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. Bhakti pareshaunya bhava varakthir nanyatya chai shakraka eka kala prabhajyamanashya tatsanashush pushti chushti shalpurisho yor magavsam tushti pushti chidapa. In this way, Bhagavatam is saying that anyone can measure their awakening and love of God within the heart. One does not require some external certification from the Denmark government or whatever it may be. You see. Just like there is some prasadam being served, First are coming, oh yes, very good. Second is very good. Third is a little bit. Fourth, no. How do you know you're getting filled up? Does someone have to tell you, Prabhu, I think you're getting filled up. I'm not going to give you fourths. No, you can feel. You know when you're getting, you're hitting your capacity. You see. So in the same way Bhagavatam says, one can actually know, one can actually experience. Bhagavatam says that that devotion, loving feelings, you see, direct experience of the Lord within everything and detachment from all material things occur simultaneously, actually is the word. It occurs simultaneously in the same way that nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process known as eating. So everyone here eats. Do any of you not eat? You're all eaters, isn't it? Do you eat? You eat, don't you? You eat. Do you eat? Do you ever eat anything? Huh? Do you eat? You eat? Very good. Yes. So everyone here eats. Yes. If you didn't, you'd be looking like a skeleton if you were even alive at all. You see? No, we have to eat. Otherwise we will die. So, since we are all eaters, we know that by eating, you become filled up and you will say, no, that's it. Bus, finished. You see? So in the same way that you can feel how you're getting filled up, if you're actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, you will feel loving emotions within your heart for the holy name, for the deity, for hearing the qualities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, associating with the devotees of the Lord. You will feel a natural affection and love for these things. And as that loving sentiment becomes awakened, then you will become, you'll feel, and you'll begin to connect with Krishna in everything. Every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, every touch. In every way, you will start to feel how Krishna is manifest everywhere. You become more and more conscious of Krishna's omnipresence. I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the taste of the water. I am the sound in the ether. I am the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. I am the ability in man. In this way, you become more and more conscious of Krishna within everything. And as you become conscious of Krishna, what will be the result? For your cherished sense gratification you've indulged in for millions of lifetimes, what will be the result for your sense gratification? As you become aware of Krishna within everything and develop love for Krishna, that sense gratification, which is previously your dearmost activity, starts to lose, you become disinterested in it. It starts to look rather pale and dry. You see? What previously was my greatest happiness, now, who can leave it? Who cares? It's nothing. It's just a shadow of actual happiness, you see. Your material happiness is a shadow of actual happiness. That's it. Actual happiness there is there in relation with God, in relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one simply has to put himself in the proper atmosphere of pure devotional service by associating with persons who are purely engaged in devotional service. We have a very easy way that you can plug into pure devotional service. You just have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, and chant at least 16 rounds a day on japa mala beads. You see. And by these simple activities, you're now connecting with the process of pure devotional service. And we have many devotees in our society who've been practicing these principles for many years, and they become very much purified in their consciousness. They're very humble, sincere devotees. So if one associates with such persons who become advanced in their Krishna consciousness, then one quickly advances himself on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So in this way, one can develop ecstatic love of God just by associating with the souls who are purely in this process. That higher taste will naturally come. Because actually there's nothing like this taste. There's nothing like this taste. You can go anywhere in the world you want to go. You cannot get this taste anywhere except in this, the realm known as pure bhakti. So, this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is inviting us, he's ushering us into this realm known as pure devotional service. It doesn't require any change of your external situation. You can be a householder living at home. You can be a forest dweller living in the forest. Or in the, you can be in a yogi in the Himalayas. You can be a sannyasi, preacher, married, single. It doesn't matter what your position is. You can be a prime minister. You can be an IT specialist. You can in any situation. It doesn't matter. Anyone in any position can become a pure devotee of Krishna. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. And always, and don't forget about Krishna. And it's an interesting point he's making, whether you're happy or whether you're unhappy. Sukhe dukhe bulo nako. You see? So we have a tendency, when things are going merry and nice, think, oh, God is, Krishna is very kind. God is good, you see. When things are going very well. But then there is great difficulty. We have a tendency to think, why is Krishna punishing me? Doesn't he realize that how pure and how devotee I am? Why is he punishing me like this? You see. We have to learn how to always have an attitude of gratitude. Both when things are going very nicely and things are not going nicely. That attitude of gratitude towards the Lord is the actual pathway back to home, back to Godhead. When a captain is sailing his ship across the ocean, he has to remain on his pathway. He has to remain on the course of the ship. Whether there's a storm, whether there's calm waters or there's a storm, he has to remain on course. He can't let himself get off the course either in nice weather or in a storm. You understand? He can't let the storm divert him from the course. So in this way, the Hare Krishna mantra is the, by chanting, this is the pathway back to our original home. So we may encounter sometimes storms, you see. Very stormy weather comes up from time to time because of our past sinful activities. Sometimes very, very stormy weather comes. So one cannot give up. Does the captain say, oh, it's a horrible storm and it's going to let go of the wheel, the ship can go wherever it wants? No. When you hit stormy weather, that's when you become even more intense on keeping that ship on the course. You see. Rishi Radharamadar ki jai. So one has to be very dedicated to this pathway of pure bhakti, especially when there are difficulties. That's when you have to intensify your devotion, not become frustrated and reject Krishna because why are you putting me through this kind of a mood? We have to always stay on the course through all kinds of circumstances, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, lean times, opulent times, in all situations, stay always fixed on this pathway. And if one does so, one's reward will be unlimited. Because that person who is the source of all existence, the supreme personality of God, who is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme owner, and the best friend of all living entities, that person becomes the personal property of the pure devotee. That's it. He becomes the personal property. So, we should take this wonderful advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakura, take this mercy of Bhaktivinoda. This is not simply some instructions, but these are transcendental instructions. Therefore, within these instructions also exists the potency to successfully execute them. You simply have to faithfully accept these instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, and then you will have, by his mercy, you will have the full power to successfully carry them out. He's giving us very good warning. Your life may end at any time. Jivana hoilo shesh. At any minute, the life may end. Can any of us guarantee we will live for another 2 days? Can any of you guarantee you will live for 2 more days? That you will see Monday? No, we cannot guarantee we will live till Monday morning. No one can guarantee. So, since life is so uncertain, we should not postpone this process of taking shelter of Krishna. That, my dear Lord, now I surrender myself to you fully. You please take control of my life right now, you see. When can you pray that? Well, you can pray it right now. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can become completely surrendered unto your lotus feet. Right now, my Lord, I'm begging you, please, Krishna, help me. My Lord, I've wandered for millions and billions of lifetimes serving my senses, and where did it get me? Another damn rotting material body. Isn't it? So, my dear Lord, please save me from this horrible netmayer. Please, Krishna, pull me out of this. So we beg Krishna. He's very kind. He's very, very kind. If we feelingly beg the Lord to save us, He will be obliged. When the child cries to the mother, is the mother not obliged to come running to the child? Of course, she is completely obliged. Because of her loving feelings, as soon as that child cries helplessly, the mother drops everything and runs to that child. So in the same way, if we can cry helplessly for the Lord, like a small child, then Krishna is obliged. He must come. And He's not obliged by our command, but He's obliged by His loving feelings. He is obliged by His loving feeling that He must come. Therefore, we should take these instructions of Bhaktivinoda very seriously and achieve the supreme destination very easily and quickly. So I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
This is, we have the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, singing this song, and I believe it in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we find there is some lamentation. How did I end up here? Why have I wasted my time and everything? Is like, for me, it's a failure. My material life is a failure. It seems is that the mood one should try to cultivate in one's approach to Krishna. That's something one has to express, or one has to connect with. Well, why is he giving it in his songs? So is it to be taken, maybe to take something that we should also learn how to express such a feeling towards Krishna? I don't know if you get
it. So the question in short would be, is there a question?
Should this lamentation that Bhaktivinoda, this is something that we should also try to find in ourselves, there's a regret that we have engaged in material life and it hasn't worked out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can get something from what I'm saying, but if you can, then welcome to come.
We don't see in this song so much that lamentation. In other songs, is there? Kabe habe bolo seidi nama. Is there a very strong one? Kabe habe bolo seidi nama. When oh when will that day be mine? When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo seidi nama. When oh when will that day be mine? So this song, that mood of lamentation, that bittersweet. Oh, now I'm so, my chanting is so offensive and I'm so rotten and fallen, but someday, I'm just hoping someday I can become free of these aparads. So many aparads I'm committing now, nam aparads, it's just, how will I ever get out of this quagmire, you see? When, oh, when will that day be mine, when I get out of this quagmire of nam aparad and actually become a pure chanter? That lamentation we see in that Kabayabhi Bolo Sedimam, you see? That it's very strong, and that's a very good mood. That I wanted to be a pure chanter, but my Lord, somehow I'm caught up in this offensive chanting, and the pure name is not coming on my lips. Please help me, my Lord, to become free from these offenses. So, are we in any position other than that? No, we are in that position. Our chanting is offensive. Although we get sometimes pretty ecstatic, you know, especially in kirtan, it becomes very ecstatic. But the bottom line is our chanting is still quite offensive, you see. We're committing so many namaparan. So if we beg Krishna to save us and to bring us into the pure name, then Krishna will reciprocate. And this Hare Krishna chant is the ideal prayer for begging for that special mercy of the Lord. We're begging. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're actually begging to be able to purely chant Hare Krishna. You don't need any extra prayer. Hare Krishna is everything. It's the universal all-purpose. Well, not for material purpose, but I'm saying from spiritual point of view, this Hare Krishna mantra is perfect. Because even if you're not chanting it purely, by chanting it, you're begging to be able to chant it purely. So what could be more perfect mantra than Hare Krishna mantra? Therefore, it is recommended in the Kali Santarana Upanishad to be the most powerful mantra for awakening the dormant self-realization within the heart. It's the most potent mantra. Stated right there in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. We do not chant Hare Krishna because we are members of the Hare Krishna movement. If that we were chanting for that purpose, we would be called a cult or a sect. But we are not a cult. We are not a sect. We are scientists who are trying to have trying to achieve the ultimate scientific breakthrough or ultimate scientific discovery of being able to directly connect with God, breaking through all the coverings of the material existence, directly coming into contact with God Himself. You see, we are scientists. We are not. We chant Hare Krishna because the Kali Santarana Upanishad is saying this is the most potent means of awakening the pure love of God within the heart. Therefore, we chant. If some other mantra was given, we would chant another mantra. We are followers of the Vedic injunction. That's it. If the other mantra was given, Om Namo Shivaya, we would do that. Any other, we are followers of Vedic injunction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was quoting Vedas. Even though he is God himself, he is presenting the bhakti process, but he's doing it completely in terms of the Shastra, Vedic wisdom. You see, this is a symptom of bona fide spiritual master. He does not invent his own ideas, some flowery language to attract wealth, women, and followers. No. Even if the words of the Vedas are pinching or uncomfortable, still he will speak. Of course, he will try to sweeten it up as much as possible to make it attractive to the audience. But the bottom line is, you've got to tell the truth. That we're all a bunch of rascals, really. We gave up the service of the Lord in the spiritual kingdom out of coup d'etat mentality. I want to take over. I don't want to be subordinate. I want to be in charge. You see? Did you know that you wanted to take over God's position as the Supreme? Did you know that? That's why you're here. You see? We wanted to take over God's position as the Supreme, and myself the Supreme. I am the Supreme. See, I am the center of existence. So, the truth has to be spoken. Of course, we make it as attractive as possible. Just like any salesman. If he's trying to sell something, he tries to make it very, present all the good points. Of course, the good thing about this is there are no bad points. We don't have to, hype you. We just have to tell the truth in the best descriptive language, because actually there's nothing bad about Krishna consciousness. It's nothing but good. But it appears bad to a materialistic person. You see, no illicit sex, come on. That's my entertainment in the evening when I get off work. You see, no intoxication, come on. That's what I use to surcharge my sex pleasure, intoxication. No meeting? Well, that's what I have before to empower my sex. You see, we take away all of his enjoyment. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. They think we're crazy. You people have been brainwashed. But they don't realize they're the ones who've been brainwashed. And they're thinking that these pleasures are necessary. These pleasures are actually poisons, because they force you into what is called bodily consciousness. And where does bodily consciousness take you? Into another body at the time of death. And what does body mean? It means birth, death, old age, and disease. Again and again and again and again. For millions and billions of births. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So what do you want? Do you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss? Or do you want temporality, ignorance, and misery? It's your choice. My dear devotees, my dear friends, it is your choice. Do you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or do you want temporality, ignorance, and misery? You can have, it's totally up to you. We're not here to force you. We're just here to give you the information so you can make an educated decision. That's all. We want you to be happy. We want you to be what makes you feel good, really. We're not trying to coerce you into being something that you're not. We just want you to have the information so you can make the proper, intelligent decision. We want to empower you with knowledge so then you can act accordingly. That's all. One who actually understands his true nature or her true nature as the eternal servant of the Supreme will naturally want to serve the Supreme. Why should I try to be happy by being something that I'm not when such a position will never actually bring me the satisfaction I desire? You understand? Why should I do that? Intelligent person thing. Why? There's no reason. My senses may be screaming at me, do it, do it, do it, but I'm sorry, senses. You've cheated me for millions of lifetimes, and I'm not going to be cheated anymore. I've been duped again and again. And I'm not going to be duped in a lifetime. You can just go jump in the Ganges for all I care, Indriyas. You see? From now on, I'm taking my direction from the sages, from the spiritual master, from the scriptures, you see. Those places where the knowledge is coming in its pure form, where there's no adulteration, no coloration, it's just pure knowledge. Shuddha Gyan, pure knowledge. Where the correct pure knowledge is being given. True scientific knowledge is being given, not the so-called science like this Stephen Hawking who says everything comes out of nothing. How can he claim to be a scientist when he says that everything comes out of nothing? Has any scientist ever been able to do an experiment to take anything out of nothing? Or you try it yourself. Go to the kitchen, take a cooking pan, put it in this empty pot and try to get popcorn out of it, you see. Just take an empty pot and put it in the stove, turn it on and see if you get any popcorn out of it. Try it. Try it. Take an empty pot, go to the kitchen, put it on the stove, turn it on, see if you get any popcorn. Come on, popcorn. Come on, pop out of nothing. Come on. Where are you? Why are you? You see. Just try it. Make a scientific experiment. Take an empty pot and try to get popcorn out of it. You see? You will never get it. If you want the popcorn, then you have to have some kernels. A little oil helps too, but you can dry pop it also. If you have the proper equipment. So, there has to be something to get something. That is scientific principle. But the scientists, they want us to believe that you can get something out of nothing. And we're supposed to accept that you're a great learned PhD, the greatest scientist in the history of the world. Just see, Prabhupada therefore calls it fool's paradise. But somebody can be such a fool, it's just like that story of the Sargal Singh. Everyone knows that story of Sargal Singh. You don't know the story? Yes. So anyway, there was one man. He had an ass, you know, he was the washerman. He had an ass who would carry the laundry. They call him Dhobi in India, the laundry man, Dhobi. Dhobi man, he had the ass for carrying the laundry down the river to wash the laundry. So that ass, Sargal Singh, was very dear to him because that's how he earned his living, you see. On his own, he couldn't carry all that laundry. So one day, Sargal Singh died and he was very distressed. I earned my livelihood, I haven't earned my living now. So in India, if a dear loved one, like a relative, a father or something, you shave your head in lamentation. So he was so moved over the death of Sargal Singh, he shaved his head. And then his friend said, "Oh, well, you shaved your head. Why didn't they?" He said, "Don't." He said, "It's a horrible thing. The most devastating thing happened to me. Sargal Singh died." He said, "Really? So I'll shave my head because I'll sympathize with you." And he shaved his head. And then somebody else heard from him and it just went on and on throughout the whole kingdom. And pretty soon, everybody in the whole kingdom would shave their heads. And finally, it came all the way to the king. And the king said, "Why are you people shaving your heads?" He said, "Don't you know your majesty, Sargal Singh is dead?" So he said, "Well, who is this Sargal Singh? Who told you and who told you?" The king traced it all the way back. And he finally found the washerman and said, "Who is this Sargal Singh?" "Oh, your majesty, that was my beloved ass." You see? So the king said, "What is this nonsense? These citizens have no intelligence, you see. They're shaving their head over, the whole kingdom is shaved their head over some ass, the death of some ass, you see." So, and then in this way, the material world, they're following these material scientists, you see. Sargal Singhs. They're blindly following these mental speculators who don't know what they're talking about. They have no actual scientific proof. But they make some fancy words, some big word jugglery. The people don't know what they're talking about. So they think, "Oh, he must be very learned because I can't follow what he's talking about." So we are not befooled by such fools, you see. We can see through the hype. We can see through the, what is that word? The razzle-dazzle. They're trying to razzle-dazzle us with all these fancy words. We can see through the razzle-dazzle that it's simply nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about. It's like that old movie, the, I don't know, maybe in America we all saw it. It's called The Wizard of Oz. It was popular during my, back in the 30s or something, but it's a classic movie. Maybe you've seen. In this movie, Dorothy, she was trapped in this land away from her home. She didn't know how to get back to her original home. She was bewildered. She wanted to get back to her home, and she heard there was a great wizard who had all kinds of powers in the city of Oz. So she was heading on her way to Oz to find the great wizard who could tell her how she could get a home. Along the way, she met some other people who had once, and so they all went together to meet the Wizard of Oz, so they could get their desires fulfilled. And they finally got there. They went in for a darshan. And it was like a mystical thing in the sky, and this huge, you know, a big huge head and the smoke, and it was very intense. But then their little dog Toto, he went over there and he pulled the curtain. It was just some ordinary man standing at his screen making this big show. So it was just some ordinary guy, and he got caught, but the dog pulled the screen, you know, and he was caught just making this big show. So the scientists are like that, like the Wizard of Oz, you see. They make a big, big show of being the controllers of everything. Pretty soon we will give you immortality. Just keep paying us these thousands and millions of dollars in salaries, and we will give you immortality. We will free you from all disease. You just got to keep paying us these big, fatty salaries. Give us these big positions. Dr. So-and-so, PhD, you see. But they're just like the Wizard of Oz, you see. So finally in the movie, some goddess, some beautiful, saintly goddess, told Dorothy how she could get home. She said, all you got to do is say, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. And then she woke up in her original home. So Prabhupada is like that goddess, you see. All you have to do is chant. There's no need to make all these endeavors to serve these scientists, to serve this material civilization. You just have to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Then you'll wake up in your original home, where you came from, before you got diverted here in the so-called land of Oz, or whatever you want to call it, the land of birth and death, old age and disease. You get back to your original home. It's got to chant this mantra. You'll wake up with Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yasoda, Radharani, the gopis, Jamuna, Govardhan. You'll find yourself in Goloka Vrindavan. You'll wake up and go, wow, here I am. I'm home again. Here's all my eternal associates. How did I ever get diverted by thinking I was a man or a woman or a lion or an elephant or a crocodile or an orangutan or whatever, you know, a banyan tree or whatever in the material world. How did I ever get diverted? I don't know how. It's really bizarre how it happened. Oh, yeah, that's how it happened. One day I got a little envious of Krishna having all these girlfriends. And I was thinking, why not me too? Oh, yeah. And I got in this whole dream of thinking I was this and that. It just went on and on. I tried to enjoy in this way. I enjoyed in that way. Tried to enjoy in that way for millions and millions of births. And where did it get me? Just one misery after another nightmare. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then a great saintly person came and he told me, you just chant Hare Krishna and you'll wake up on your original identity. And now I did it. I just said, well, at least I'll try it. I've tried everything else. Why not try this too, you know? So, wow, I tried it, and wow, look what happened. Here I am. I'm back with Krishna, in my eternal sarup, my identity in the Lord. I'm back in my original identity. Well, I really lucked out that person told me about it, you know. I was so lucky, because otherwise I could have gone on for millions and billions of more lifetimes trying to, you know, enjoy in a place where there is no enjoyment. You understand? This material life means trying to enjoy in a place where there is no enjoyment. It's like wandering in the desert and putting some sand in your mouth and trying to get some water out of the sand. You can't get any water out of the sand. Forget it. You'll never get it. You will not get any pleasure. You can try, if you don't believe me, try as hard as you like to get pleasure out of material life. You'll get some temporary sensation of pleasure, yes, I grant you that. But will you get permanent, lasting pleasure that goes on increasing? No, you won't. You won't. You will not get it because it doesn't exist to you. It does not exist to you. So, any other questions? Yeah.
Your eternal Swarup, is that in your heart, or will you get when you are?
Yeah, it's actually there. You have it already.
Okay.
You. Well, first of all, the actual living being, are seated in your heart right now in a seed-like state. That is called the Atma. So within the Atma, the actual Swarup is there. It's just like the innate capacity to walk is there within a child. So the innate capacity to actually be who you actually are in a particular relationship with Krishna is already there. Just like the child has a tendency to walk. You have a natural tendency to have a certain relationship with Krishna already. But you can't try to jump to it artificially. You have to follow the Vaidhi Bhakti path of following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. And then when you become completely free from all material contamination, then the natural tendency to serve the Lord in a particular sort of way can become awakened within you. But if one tries to artificially jump to that position now, then it will spoil one's progress. So one should very faithfully follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulations of devotional service. And even those persons who have actually awakened their relationship with Krishna, they keep that completely inside themselves. They externally will continue to follow the rules and regulations, just like a neophyte. Any other questions? Yeah.
Most of the time, we are while traveling or something like that, in the mind we will be chanting Hare Krishna mantra.
So you may miss the chanting while you're traveling?
Yeah.
And how to deal with that? That's your question?
My mind is always automatically travels.
Huh?
In my mind, automatically it will be going on, keep on going on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's a psychic process. Automatically, it will keep on going, and suddenly.
The thing is, in order to have it going on automatically, you're going to have to do a lot of disciplined chanting. Because it is not, right now, we're so conditioned to material sense gratification that our natural tendency is to think about sense gratification, not Hare Krishna. In order to have it going on automatically within your brain, you're going to have to really work hard to absorb yourself in regular chanting on the beads, following regulative principles, etc. And if you do that, it's just like for a child who hasn't learned to walk, even though it's natural to walk, he can't walk. But with practice, then that innate tendency to walk then becomes developed, re-manifested. So the natural inclination of the soul is to always think of Krishna in its event. But now we're like a child who cannot walk. We're not inclined in our present conditioned state to think about Krishna hardly at all. We think about money, we think about sense gratification, we think about prestige, so many things, not very much about Krishna. But by associating with devotees who are purely serving the Lord and ourselves by studying the scriptures and chanting, then the natural tendency to serve the Lord and to always remember the Lord and to always chant His name, that tendency will gradually awaken in the heart. So it doesn't matter whether you're in one place or you're traveling. The same principle applies. Just like if you're In at home you eat, and when you travel do you also eat? You eat it whether you're traveling or whether you're at home. So this process of Krishna consciousness is, it doesn't matter if you're at home or you're traveling, it's the same thing. It's like when I'm at the temple, I go to the Mangal Arati to sing the Gavastakam prayer. And on the plane, yesterday morning, I woke up flying from Bombay to London. So I was singing the Gavastakam prayers there on the airplane in the early morning before the sunrise. So it doesn't matter if I'm at a temple or I'm traveling, still I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't matter. So once you learn how to walk, do you walk only at home? No, you're traveling, you also walk. Wherever you are, the innate walking tendency, once it's awakened, is manifested. Someone who has actually awakened their Krishna consciousness, they will be Krishna conscious at home, or whether they're at work, whether they're traveling, wherever they may be. If they're actually awakened in their Krishna consciousness, they will practice Krishna consciousness in every situation. Anything else? Okay.
Now it's Kartik beginning, the month of Kartik. How do we get the most out of that month? How to benefit from it?
Well, the month of Kartik is a very festive month of meditating on Krishna's pastimes as the Yashoda Dula, the darling son of Mother Yashoda in the Damodar Leela. It's a very nice time of the year to remember this wonderful pastime, to sing the Damodar Astakam prayers every day in this way, to be amazed at the amazing quality of Krishna, that he will agree to become the chastised son of his devotee. So this is very intimate, you see. In other religions, they only conceive of God as the supreme, powerful one. But here, Krishna is saying to my mother, she can be more powerful than me. I will be afraid of her whipping stick, you see. Let my mother become more powerful than me. Let my dear devotee, Mother Yashoda, let her become more powerful than me. I will become subordinate to her. So this is a very nice month to meditate on the quality of Krishna, how he is so kind that he agrees to be under the rule of his devotees. So in this way, try to increase one's Krishna consciousness in this holy month of Kartik. There is an injunction also one can follow. This one. Help one to avoid urad dal. That also includes most of the papers that we take, which are made with urad dal. Sometimes you can get a mung papar, but mostly they're made with urad dal. So not to take papers, papadam, this month, or urad dal. That also includes general idli. It has urad dal in it, so one has to be conscious not to take urad dal during this month of Kartik. It's a little tapah to do, to follow the tapah. Just like we just finished the milk bath, the third month, one should not take milk. The second month of the Chaturmasya, one avoids the yogurt. The first month, one enjoys the green leafy vegetable. So now is the fourth month, we are meant to avoid the urad dal. So any other questions? Okay. Very good. We will stop here. We thank you very much. Now, I think there is prasadam, but no urad dal. So it's okay. You don't have to worry. I'm sure there's no urad dal in prasadam. Okay, very good. You can embellish the prasadam without worrying about breaking the Kartik rut. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai.
Great Sangha Sangha ki jai.